each and every week on the Sunday Session. We love to have a chat with Morris Mizalowski. He's our business futurist, and he knows about all the stuff that's coming down the pipeline. And one of the things I wanted to ask him about today is why it is that my kids' school are now not only demanding that the kids have got laptops, but also iPads. This is becoming a very expensive exercise for me, and I want to know whether it all makes sense. We welcome Morris to the program now. G'day, Morris.
G'day.
Now, iPads and laptops. Should my kids really have both?
No, they don't need both. Just get them the iPad.
Oh, yeah? How's that?
The iPad really seems to have become the educational tool of this decade. It's amazing. It's only been around 18 months. But yet it seems so embedded. Every time I walk through an educational institution, it doesn't matter whether it's primary, secondary or tertiary, people are talking about it, using it, thinking about it. It's just phenomenal how far it's come in such a short space of time.
I mean, it's a pretty spectacular device, and I don't want to sound like too much of an Apple fanboy here. I mean, I think any tablet device really is a very clever piece of technology. But, you know, we look historically, Apple's iPad really, it's sold a heck of a lot of them, but it wasn't the first tablet on the market.
No, we've had tablets for about 10 or 15 years before. In fact, every major manufacturer has had a crack at trying to put a tablet on the marketplace, and every one of them has spectacularly failed.
So it makes you wonder then what Apple did differently to, well, I know they say think differently, but what do you reckon? What do you reckon is the main push behind the iPad being such a popular device?
I think there are two things. One of them was the marketing, and really that's the second thing, but it's the marketing side of it, the making of it so sexy and this device that we didn't know we needed and all of a sudden just had to have. And behind that really is the ease of use, that this tablet is just such an easy piece of kit. Literally, I see kids at 12 months, 13 months being able to engage with this. They certainly don't know what they're doing, but flicking between photos or turning on a video or something is so natural to them. And at the other end, I've literally seen people 90 plus again be able to just flick through this thing as if it's a natural piece of everyday activity.
And I'm guessing this is why it's become such a popular device now in the education sector.
It has. It's just its ease of use. It's also its ease of carrying it around too. You know, one of the things, if you think about it, is most kids carry on their back somewhere upwards of about 6 kilos of various textbooks and lunchboxes and all kinds of bits and bobs that they need. And that makes perfect sense. But when you look at something like their textbooks and the things they write on and in and read, do we really need all of those various pieces when we can put all of them so nicely into, and whether it's a tablet or not, it doesn't matter, whether it's the iPad, it doesn't matter, but into a device that's relatively light, robust, and gives them so much more opportunity.
So that's taking advantage of, I guess, a newer technology, a current technology now, to make something that we're already doing easier. But is there any argument to say that the iPad can also help teach in new ways?
Oh, it absolutely does. I've seen some beautiful work being done around kindergarten and prep level, certainly the same higher up, but kindergarten and prep, where they're teaching children on tablets to be able to do, you know, basic times table, basic reading, basic stuff as they would in those years, but appropriate to each of the child's skill levels and learning styles. As educators, we've known that everybody learns in different styles. And even with the best teacher in the room fully resourced, he or she can only teach one style at a time. You know, they might teach it through visual, they might teach it through reading, they might teach it through doing, but it's only one activity. What's happening with the iPad or with these tablets in general is that they're putting different programs onto each child's iPad that's specific to the way they like to learn best. The teacher's giving instruction to the whole room, so she might be doing basic times table. Again, this wouldn't be K or prep, it might be grades 1, 2 or 3, but basic instruction. But on their iPad, each of them are doing it differently, even though they're all going to the same end result.
And going at a different speed as well, I
different
guess.
Different speeds, different styles, different all kinds of things, but at the end of the day, they're all reaching the same point in a way that satisfies them as a learner the best. And that's what our kids need.
It makes you wonder as well if, you know, if we're changing things as basic as what they're writing on, whether or not the current layout of classes is actually the best way of doing it as well.
And that's always been an ongoing debate, literally from the year dot. What we're finding now is that we're re-engineering the classrooms themselves. The way we teach is significantly different, and the resources we use in the classroom are different as well. So one of the things that's being done with, especially around primary and secondary school, is this notion of going back to what we used to call composite classes in my day, which were a number of classes together in one space. So what I'm finding now is that we might have 2 or 3 year sevens or eights or whatever the appropriate year is, and in that space you'll have a number of teachers. So everything's put into one area. Number of students, a number of teachers, each of those teachers again teaching in a different style but towards a common curriculum, a common outcome. And kids might be, for instance, some of them might be putting together a video instead of an essay, some of them might be writing an essay, some of them might be putting together a play, each of them doing something different, being attracted to the teacher that best suits their learning style. And what's interesting about the physical space is that they're often open areas and they have nooks in them and crannies, meaning that there are spaces that can be moved around. Desks and chairs are all movable. Corners can be used for videoing. They can be used for all kinds of things. So students find their spaces. They find what's comfortable. They find a teacher that's best for them. And they move towards learning what they want to learn in a style that suits them the best.
But this doesn't detract from the basics, does it? Like, you know, the basic reading and learning how to do maths and comprehension, that kind of thing. All of that's still going to be there, but what we're talking about now is building on top of it in a slightly different direction?
Yeah, we are, with the 3 R's that only two of them, only one of them starts with R.
That's yes.
So reading, writing, arithmetic is what we always talk about as being the holy grail of education. It certainly won't disappear. The veracity and the way it's taught is changing, and for some of us it's not comfortable in the way that it's changing, meaning that, again, if I can pick on the times table, if we talk about the times table in my day, we used to do it by rote learning. So, you know, it was almost like a song. You know, it was 1 times 2, 2 times 2, and we learned that over and over and over again. There's a big debate, and I don't know which side we fall on. Listeners will have to make up their own mind. But will our students of tomorrow need to learn them as much when they're more reliant on these machines to do the outcome? So that doesn't mean they shouldn't know it. It just means that they need to know enough to know that if what's on the screen is right or wrong. And there's a whole educational debate around that.
One of the other questions I've got, and it's a question without notice, really, Morris, because I know it's one that is a fairly touchy subject, and I'll be interested to hear what your perspective on this is. Now, one of the issues, or one of the challenges that we've got when we start giving kids access to the internet, is this notion of inappropriate content. How do we best deal with that kind of thing?
Oh, the answer to that is exactly the same way we do offline. We need to start with our children before they get onto technology, and that's really early in their life. We need to teach them about what responsibilities are, how to manage themselves online, stranger danger, all the things that cyberbullying, all the things that we would normally do offline, do them online. Monitor your children, know what they're talking and who they're talking to, give them parameters. Make sure, as I do, that you fool them as often as possible to believing you know exactly what they're doing online, and therefore they can't get away with too much. But I don't think keeping them away from it wholesale is the right thing to do, because these kids, again, we may not like it, but these kids are totally immersed in technology everywhere they go. Doesn't mean we shouldn't put them outside to play basketball. They need to see fresh air. They need to do all of those things as we did when we were kids. But we do need to factor in this world that they've moved into. And regardless of whether we know or we're comfortable with it, the things that we teach our children offline, again, are still the same basic values we teach them about going online.
One of the many conversations I have with parents, and of course I've got a background in the IT industry as well, one of the big conversations I have is from parents who are saying, how the heck am I meant to police what my children are doing when they're on the net or on their computer when they know more about it than I do?
Yeah, and that's what I mean by fooling them as often as possible.
Yeah.
I mean, you've got to bluff them, but I think at the end of the day, it is a matter of trust, that we know our kids really well. I don't think there's anything wrong with the basics of when kids are first starting off to have the computer in a common area, somewhere where it's accessible. I certainly don't think it's right for children to be locking themselves in their room and using these things out of context of a family. I think we need to show them that it's a tool that we use and not to be totally immersed in it. So there are all those sorts of things. But again, we don't have to know everything about it in order to police it or to know when things are wrong. I'm a great believer in intuition. As parents, we know when our kids are up to mischief. We know when they're doing things that we don't think are right for them. And you need to step in, forget the technology, forget the conversations that they're going to bamboozle you on. Just go back to the basics. Who are you talking to? Why are you talking to them? What's the purpose?
Just work
through those things.
Responsible parenting.
Absolutely. And don't worry about the technology.
It kind of brings us full circle because I guess if they've got iPads, they certainly don't need to be in their bedrooms. They can be sat at the dining table or on the lounge room, using the iPad right there with the whole family.
Absolutely. And I think, again, we need to forget about these things as being technology. I've said this a few times already. We need to encourage as much as possible. But, again, encourage them to put it down, which may be a strange thing for you, to say. But put it down as well and then go and enjoy the physical world as much as possible as well.
Morris, you've always got a good insight into what's coming down the pipeline. If any of our listeners would like to read a little bit more about the sort of things you get up to, or perhaps even find out whether or not you can actually come and speak to their organisation, how can they get in touch with you?
We'd love to do that. The website is businessfuturist.com.
Businessfuturist.com. Got it there. Morris, thanks so much for chatting to us, and we'll chat to you again next week.
My pleasure. Have a great week, everyone.
Good on you. That's Morris Misalowski there, who is 6PR's Sunday session business futurist. And look, I'm always happy to have continuing conversations about anything to do with technology. You would have guessed that, wouldn't you, with me being a super geek and all. Give us a call. How do you deal with your kids dealing with technology? Do they know more than you? Do you let them lock themselves away in the bedroom? Love to have a chat with you about that this afternoon. Give us a call, 922 11 882.